Hello, everyone. Brian and Julian here. We're going into the update vault to play one of the many episodes from throughout the many years of this program. For today's episode, we go into the world of 2021, continuing the pandemic era of the program. 2021 was still a weird year. We were still finding out the mysteries about the coronavirus, and we were still out on the road in the middle of a pandemic, no less. But somehow, we find a way to just make the whole thing work. Oh, and one last thing about this episode. After the show aired, one of my former producers, who happened to be listening to the show at the time, called me up and actually invited me out to lunch. How about that? Good afternoon from a Heritage Park in the Port Richmond section of Staten Island. On the update this Thursday, three NYPD officers, they're expected to recover after a man stabbed one of them in the neck in an ambush. Authorities say that the stabber is also in critical condition after police shot him. We'll have the latest details on another night of curfew for New York City. In coronavirus developments, New York will start to allow outdoor dining at restaurants as soon as today in much of the state outside of the city and its suburbs as restrictions continue to ease. The governor said yesterday that restaurants must place outdoor tables 6 feet apart, all staff must wear face coverings, and customers must also wear coverings when not being seated. Major League Baseball is no closer to starting the 2020 season than it was when the union made its latest proposal on Sunday. A person who's familiar with these negotiations tells the AP that MLB has rejected the players' offer for a 114-game regular season with no additional salary cuts. And we're still on the road to a vaccine. The British government is hosting a vaccine summit, hoping to raise billions of dollars to immunize children in developing countries and to discuss how any potential vaccine against the new coronavirus might be distributed globally and also fairly. This is the update, Thursday, June the 4th, 2020.
This is the update with Brandon Julian, reporting tonight on the road.
And a very pleasant Thursday to you, Brandon Julian here, the host of the Update Podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop, continuing the long-running Staten Island series, Heritage Park in the Port Richmond section of Staten Island. We are very close to Wifey Terrace. We are along Richmond Terrace, but we are also near, this is where, across the river in New Jersey, where many of the ports come to undeliberative their ships. Undeliberative, that probably was not a word, but you get the general idea. We have a lot of news to get to this Thursday, including the latest coronavirus developments. We're going to begin this Thursday, however, with what happened overnight in the protests over George Floyd. Of course, you know, curfew remains through the rest of the week, 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. But there were three NYPD officers that are now expected to recover after a man stabbed one of them in the neck in an ambush. Authorities said today that the stabber is in critical condition after police shot him. An officer was on anti-looting patrol when he was ambushed in Brooklyn just hours after the 8 p.m. curfew went into effect. An ensuing struggle left two other officers with gunshot injuries, but the police commissioner, Dermot Shea, didn't speculate on the stabber's motive. A police union leader blamed the attack on the anti-police rhetoric. The governor said, quote, "I don't know that I would want to do the job that they're doing now." Of course, another day that began with hope that the city was beginning to find a way out of the crisis that's been caused by the virus, and a week of angry demonstrations over police brutality ended yesterday with only more violence. Peaceful protests over the death of George Floyd threw thousands of people what were broken up by police after the city's 8 p.m. curfew went into effect. Then, with the streets quiet for the first time in days, as we mentioned a moment ago, police said that a man ambushed officers on an anti-looting patrol in Brooklyn, stabbing him in the neck. The attacker was shot and wounded. Out in the Midwest in Columbus, Ohio, a wave of police killings of young black men back in 2014 prompted 24 states to quickly pass some type of law enforcement reform. But many declined to address the most glaring issue, the police use of force. And now, 6 years later, only about a third of states have passed laws on the question. The issue is at the heart of a nationwide protest, of course, set off by the death of George Floyd. Now, some lawmakers are hoping to harness the anger to push through changes on the use of force they couldn't manage after 2014. There were leaders out west in Seattle. They were seeking to address the concerns raised by protesters after they've abruptly ended a citywide curfew in place for days amid the demonstrations over the death of George Floyd. Mayor Jenny Durkan said last night on Twitter that she was ending the curfew, which had been scheduled to last until Saturday, after she and Police Chief Carmen Best met with community members. Thousands of protesters, of course, remained in the city's Capitol Hill neighborhood well after the abolished 9 o'clock curfew last night. Washington Lieutenant Governor Cyrus Habib tweeted that he was pleased that Seattle had listened in reverse course, saying that other cities should do the same. And we all know that the press is allowed to be on the streets of New York to cover these protests after the city's 8 o'clock curfew. Well, NYPD officers forced two Associated Press journalists to stop covering the protests on Tuesday, surrounding them, shoving them, and cursing at them while yelling at them to go home. This was despite an order allowing the media to remain on the city streets. Portions of the incident were captured on video by video journalist Robert Bumstead, who was working with photographer Mei E. Wong to document the protests in Manhattan over the killing of George Floyd. The video shows more than half a dozen officers confronting the journalists as they filmed and photographed police ordering protesters to go home shortly after the citywide curfew took effect. There is other news and coronavirus developments of this Thursday to get to, and we will address those when the update with Brian and Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just 30 seconds.
Hi, I'm Amine. Sometimes starting a conversation with a friend about mental health can feel awkward, but your support can make a huge difference. You know your friends best, so if you feel like something's wrong, trust your instinct and reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Welcome back, everyone. Some of the other news of this Thursday. The Roman Catholic Bishop of Brooklyn, already under a church investigation for alleged sex abuse, has now been accused by a second man who says that he was molested in the 1970s. The accusation comes in a March 9th letter that the man's lawyer sent to an attorney for the Newark, New Jersey Archdiocese. The letter alleges that Bishop Nicholas DiMarzio, quote, repeatedly sexually abused Samir Taderos, starting when he was about 6 years old, and DiMarzio was a parish priest in New Jersey. DiMarzio and his attorney have said that the allegations are not true. Turning to the latest coronavirus developments, the state is going to start allowing outdoor dining at restaurants as soon as today in much of the state outside of the city and the suburbs as restrictions continue to ease. Governor Cuomo said yesterday that restaurants must place outdoor tables 6 feet apart, all staff must wear face coverings, and customers must also wear coverings when not being seated. The order applies to regions that have entered the second phase of Cuomo's four-step reopening plan, including the Capital Region, Western New York, Central New York, and the Finger Lakes. New York City, of course, is expected to enter the first phase of reopening on Monday. Zhu Xiaoyong, a prominent Chinese activist and legal scholar that was detained by the government earlier this year, is now being honored by PEN America. The literary and human rights organization announced today that Zhu is this year's winner of the Freedom to Write Award, which previously has been given to dissidents everywhere from Cuba to Turkey. Zhu's award comes on the 31st anniversary of the Tiananmen Square uprisings in Beijing. The 47-year-old Zhu was detained back in February. He had been in hiding since last December, but continued to criticize Chinese leader Xi Jinping, accusing him of covering up information about the coronavirus. In Washington, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is now endorsing the Democratic primary challenger of a veteran House committee chairman. The progressive freshman is taking on 16-term Congressman Elliot Engel, the chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Engel is a 73-year-old liberal, and his New York district is in parts of the Bronx and Westchester. That's right next door to the district of Ocasio-Cortez, who represents portions of the Bronx and Queens. Her move means that she's taking on House Democratic leaders who, by tradition, support incumbents when they are challenged in party primaries. Ocasio-Cortez is backing a local educator, Jamal Bowman. She says, quote, "The moment requires renewed and revitalized leadership." And finally, one of the three teenagers that was charged in the stabbing death of a college student here in New York has now pleaded guilty to robbery. The teen had been arrested just days after the December 11th killing of 18-year-old Tessa Majors in Morningside Park. The boy, now 14, told detectives that he was at the Manhattan Park with two other young people, but wasn't the one who stabbed Majors. The Legal Aid Society said in a statement that the robbery plea is, quote, "consistent with our client's limited role in the tragic event." Two other teens have pleaded not guilty to murder in her death. Time for us to step aside for a moment when we return on the update of this Thursday from Heritage Park in the Port Richmond section of Staten Island. We'll help you get around with the MTA Essential Service Plan. We're going to talk sports and tell you how Major League Baseball is no closer to starting the 2020 season than it was when the union made its latest proposal on Sunday. We'll give you details. We'll talk about what happened on this day in history. And then we will address the latest national news, including how demonstrations in cities across the U.S. condemning racism and police abuses after the death of George Floyd remain large, but mostly without the violence of previous nights on the eve of his memorial service. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon and Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud.
Be sure to check out the update podcast.
Also on the WKRB, Mixcloud. There we go. All that and more when the update Brandon Julian OTR podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
What can I possibly do to make this stressful time a little better? Here's one thing I found. It's a small thing, a simple thing, a remarkable thing. Smile. You can share a smile from more than 6 feet apart. You can share it socially with the whole world. In fact, right now, I'm smiling at you. And I hope you're smiling back, because smiling is in you, from PassItOn.com.
Pass it on.
Now's the time to stay apart. Social distancing. But I'm adding something else. Pull together. What's pulling together while we're staying apart? It's calling family to check in on them. It's waving to your neighbor. It's the things we should have been doing all along. And when this tragedy passes and we're able to come together, we'll be stronger than ever, because we've already pulled together. Stay apart. Pull together.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
From New York City, doing business in the same location since 1904, this is The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies, it's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Because the MTA is running an essential service plan for essential employees only, service on most lines will be running a frequency of at least every 10 to 30 minutes. Also, there is no scheduled service on the B, Grand Central Shuttle, W, and Z trains. For alternate service, you can use the 7, C, D, J, N, Q, or R trains. As a reminder, the subways close every night from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. for disinfecting and deep cleaning of trains and stations. Get alternate travel info at mta.info/overnight.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
Let us talk some sports now on this Thursday. And MLB, Major League Baseball, they are no closer to starting the 2020 season than it was when the union made their latest proposal on Sunday. A person who's familiar with these negotiations is telling the AP that MLB has rejected the players' offer for a 114-game regular season with no additional salary cuts. The person added that management didn't plan to make a counterproposal. MLB proposed an 82-game schedule last week and further reductions in player salaries as the sport is trying to salvage a season that's been delayed by the pandemic. Management has told the union that it has no interest in extending the season into November when it fears that a second wave of the virus could disrupt the postseason and jeopardize $787 million in broadcast revenue. Deputy Commissioner Dan Halem wrote a letter yesterday to Chief Union Negotiator Bruce Mayer that was obtained by the Associated Press. Halem noted that players are unified in their view that they will not accept less than 100% of their protracted salaries, and management has no choice but to accept that representation. Halem said that based on the players' salary position and the significant health risk extending the regular season past September, management does not have any reason to believe that a negotiated solution for an 82-game season is possible. And going down to New Orleans, Drew Brees, he's apologized for his comments on disrespecting the flag when reiterating his position to kneeling during the national anthem. The New Orleans Saints quarterback now says the comments were insensitive and completely missed the mark. The comments drew sharp criticism from fellow high-profile athletes and others in the wake of George Floyd's death. Brees made his comments during an interview in which he was asked to revisit former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick's 2016 protest of police brutality against minorities. Kaepernick knelt during the national anthem before games. Brees has said that he supports people protesting police brutality, but that the national anthem is not a proper form. When we return on the update this Thursday from Heritage Park in the Port Richmond section of Staten Island, we will address what happened on this day in history, and then we will talk the latest national news, including how deputies in Virginia say that a white man assaulted three people because of their race. We will address that and more when the update with Brian and Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
Keep it tuned in to WKRB. The update returns in a moment.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having playdates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual playdates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone in America land. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Social distancing tip.
Keeping your distance from others is important in slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are some fun things to do alone. Read a book, take a walk, unpack your suitcase from that trip you took last September, paint a self-portrait, catch up on a TV series, do a puzzle. Remember, we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
From New York City, it's after 10 a.m. Do you know where your boyfriend is? This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, a podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop, Heritage Park in the Port Richmond section of Staten Island. We are looking across our neighbors in New Jersey. We're near the Bayonne Bridge again, which is where we were at for our show the previous day. The Bayonne Bridge, you can see a pits into New Jersey, but it's a rather warm day out there. So, as Governor Cuomo would say, make sure you get out there and enjoy it while being socially distant and responsible, of course. Let's address what happened on this day in history for this June the 4th. The highlight of his day came in 1998 when a federal judge sentenced Terry Nichols to life in prison for his role in the 1995 bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. In 1812, the Louisiana Territory was renamed the Missouri Territory to avoid confusion with the recently admitted state of Louisiana. Also, the U.S. House of Representatives approved 79-49 a declaration of war against Britain. In 1919, Congress approved the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, guaranteeing citizens the right to vote regardless of their gender, and sent it to the states for ratification. In 1939, the German ocean liner MS St. Louis, carrying more than 900 Jewish refugees from Germany, was turned away from the Florida coast by U.S. officials. In 1940, during World War II, the Allied military evacuation of some 338,000 troops from Dunkirk, France, ended. Also, British Prime Minister Winston Churchill declared, "We shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the landing grounds, we shall fight in the fields and in the streets, we shall fight in the hills, we will never surrender." In 1942, the World War II Battle of Midway began, resulting in a decisive American victory against Japan and marking the turning point of the war in the Pacific. In 1944, U-505, a German submarine, was captured by a U.S. Navy task group in the South Atlantic. It was the first such capture of an enemy vessel at sea by the U.S. Navy since the War of 1812. Also, the U.S. Fifth Army began liberating Rome. In 1972, a jury in San Jose, California, acquitted radical activist Angela Davis of murder and kidnapping her alleged connection to a deadly courthouse shootout in Marin County in 1970. In 1985, the Supreme Court upheld a lower court ruling, striking down an Alabama law providing a daily minute of silence in public schools. In 1986, Jonathan J. Pollard, a former U.S. Navy intelligence analyst, pleaded guilty in Washington to conspiring to deliver information related to the national defense to Israel. Pollard, who was sentenced to life in prison, was released on parole on November 20th of 2015. In 1989, a gas explosion in the Soviet Union engulfed two passing trains, killing 575 people. In 1990, Dr. Jack Kevorkian carried out his first publicly assisted suicide, helping Janet Atkins, a 54-year-old Alzheimer's patient from Portland, Oregon, end her life in Oakland County, Michigan. And in 2000, President Bill Clinton and Russian President Vladimir Putin ended their summit by conceding differences on missile defense, agreeing to dispose of weapons-grade plutonium, and pledging early warning of missile and space launches. When we return on the update this Thursday from Heritage Park in the Port Richmond section of Staten Island, we will talk about the latest national news, including how overseas the British government is hosting a vaccine summit, hoping to raise billions of dollars to immunize children in developing countries, and to discuss how any potential vaccine against the virus must be distributed globally and fairly. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
They say singing can help you remember things, so here's some tips for parents out there during these tough times.
Number one,
make sure your kids wash their hands for 20 seconds after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside.
Two,
virtual playdates, social and physical distancing can help save lives.
Three,
tell them they're safe and show your love and pride. Yes, we'll get through this together.
Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Pass it on.
Now's the time to stay apart. Social distancing. But I'm adding something else. Pull together. What's pulling together while we're staying apart? It's calling family to check in on them. It's waving to your neighbor. It's the things we should have been doing all along. And when this tragedy passes and we're able to come together, we'll be stronger than ever because we've already pulled together. Stay apart. Pull together.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
Listen to us on Mixcloud to learn more about the stories that matter to you. And did you miss out on any episode of The Update? Listen to us anytime at Mixcloud.com/the WKRB update.
Welcome back to The Update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop, Heritage Park in the Port Richmond section of Staten Island. Let's address the latest national news on this Thursday. We will begin in Minneapolis, where demonstrations in cities across the U.S. condemning racism and police abuses after the death of George Floyd remained large, but mostly without the violence of previous nights on the eve of his memorial service today. The calmer protests followed new charges against police in Minneapolis that were involved in his death. The most serious charge filed yesterday was an accusation of second-degree murder against Derek Chauvin, who was caught on video pressing his knee to Floyd's neck. The three other officers at the scene were charged for the first time with aiding and abetting second-degree murder and also second-degree manslaughter. Down in Locust Grove in Virginia, deputies there say a white man assaulted three people because of their race. The Orange County Sheriff's Office said the deputies were called to the scene by 53-year-old Edward Halstead of Locust Grove on Tuesday night. After interviewing witnesses, deputies determined that Halstead was the aggressor. Authorities did not provide the information on the race of the victims. Halstead has been booked into a regional jail on charges including attempted strangulation and three counts of felonious assault and battery due to the victim's race. It wasn't immediately clear if he had a lawyer who could comment for him. Turning to coronavirus developments overseas in London, the British government is hosting a vaccine summit, hoping to raise billions of dollars to immunize children in developing countries and to discuss how any potential vaccine against the new virus could be distributed globally and fairly. While the UN, the United Nations, and others have called for any COVID-19 vaccine to be made freely available, experts say it's likely rich countries will push their way to the front of the line, even if the need is greater in developing countries. India today reported another record number of new infections, 9,304, with 260 deaths in the previous 24 hours. And finally, staying overseas to Hong Kong in other news, Thousands of people there defied a police ban and broke through barricades to mark the 31st anniversary of the crushing of a democracy movement that was centered on Beijing's Tiananmen Square. Crowds in the former British colony lit candles and observed a minute of silence to remember the 1989 crackdown. With democracy all but snuffed out in mainland China, the focus has shifted increasingly to semi-autonomous Hong Kong, where authorities for the first time banned the annual vigil. Police had cited the need for social distancing during the outbreak in barricading Victoria Park. Beijing is taking a tougher stance, following months of anti-government protests last year. Our thought for today is from Carl Sandburg, an American writer, born in 1878 and died in 1967. Our thought for today is, if America forgets where she came from, if the people lose sight of what brought them along, if she listens to the deniers and mockers, then we'll begin the rot and dissolution. I will let you guys ponder on that as we say in the words of Walter Cronkite, that's the way it is. Thursday, June the 4th, 2020. That is the update on this Thursday from Heritage Park in the Port of Richmond section. I'm Brandon Joy. We appreciate you joining us. Hopefully your news is good news. Good luck. Be safe. Be well. And I will see you in some other part of Staten Island tomorrow.